You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, everybody, it's Stephen Schleicher. I'm asking for your help for something very important for our good friend, Rodrigo Lopez. Rodrigo has written a book. Rodrigo, you've written a book.
I did. I wrote a book, man.
It's called The Tale of Tallest Rabbit. What is Tale of Tallest Rabbit about? Is it about rabbits, right?
Partially about rabbits, yes. The Tale of Tallest Rabbit is actually the story of a young girl named Monique who finds herself surrounded by talking rabbits. And because of the way she wears her hair and because rabbits are not very smart, they just assume she's a rabbit.
So this is total fantasy world, right?
It is.
It's all,
yes,
one story?
It's one overarching story and has a lot of smaller short stories as kind of we learn what this world is about. And actually, basically storytelling saves the day more than once.
Ooh, awesome. So this is a book for anybody, or is this for like older adults, or is this for young kids, or?
This is a book, as far as reading level, I would say 8 and up, but okay. This is a book that if you read it to a younger child, I think they would greatly enjoy. Also, I think, you know, I've shown this book to a lot of people, and most of them are people who are 20 years old and up. Most of the people that have read any of the book, and they all seem to really like it. I think there's a lot here for adults, you know, as far as, mm-hmm, you know, structure and kind of a few references and things like that.
Okay, so here's where we need our listeners' help. This book, The Tale of Tallest Rabbit by Rodrigo Lopez, comes out on January 12, 2016. Now, that may be in a couple of weeks or it may be tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this release. But what we want you to do is we want you to head to Amazon.com on January 12th and order The Tale of Tallest Rabbit. Here's why we want you to do it on January 12th. A million of you all go in on January 12th and you buy this book. What will happen is Rodrigo's book will skyrocket in the selling list. And the higher it gets up on that list, the more people will see that, the more people will buy the book, and that will encourage Rodrigo to write even more books. Is that right, Rodrigo?
That is correct.
Look, if you have enjoyed Rodrigo's storytelling in Top 5, if you've enjoyed his stories in Critical Hit, if you've just enjoyed his general stories overall, I think you will enjoy The Tale of Tallest Rabbit. It looks like a lot of fun, and we want you to help out by buying this book on January 12th, 2016 at Amazon.com. You can get it in two formats, right, Rodrigo?
That's right. You can get a physical copy for about $13, and you can get just get the PDF or the Kindle version for about $5. Also, I'm pretty sure it's going to be available at least in Europe, but I have to like check some toggles and stuff to see if it'll be available in other regions as well.
Worldwide. Come on, everybody. Let's help out Rodrigo. Go buy The Tale of Tallest Rabbit. It's coming out on January 12, 2016. Head over to Amazon on that day. Mark your calendars now. Buy the book. Make Rodrigo even more famous than he is. Let's encourage him to write some more books. Let's game the system a little bit over at Amazon. We've learned this from our good friends Brian Brushwood and Justin Robert Young. With your help, we can do it. And we can see The Tale of Tallest Rabbit up there in the top 10 list, hopefully. Sounds good. Come on, listeners, help us out. Thank you so much for your time. Rodrigo, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, pick it up, read it, enjoy it, rate it. And definitely, if you like it, Fearsome Critter on Twitter, mm-hmm, or Magic Turtle on Tumblr. Let me know what you think.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck, Rodrigo. Let's send this book to number one. Hi, everyone. Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com here with you this week with another new Top 5. We hope you enjoy this episode. It is brought to you free of charge thanks to the great support of all of our VIP members at members.majorspoilers.com. Without these fine people making a small monthly contribution, we wouldn't be able to bring shows like Top 5 to you when we do. If you would like to become a Major Spoilers VIP, we would really appreciate it. You just point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com, read all the information, check out all of the extra stuff you get when you become a Major Spoilers VIP, and sign up today. Thank you so much. Here's your show. Welcome to Top 5, a show where we cover it in milk, maybe add some sugar, if it's not already included, and slice it up with some nice fruits. Maybe serve it hot or cold. This is Top 5.
Never serve it hot.
Oh, you can. There's a lot of really good ones on the hot list. The hot list this week is, of course, Top 5 breakfast cereals. Mm-hmm. Top 5 breakfast cereals. Should be interesting.
Yeah. Milk is one of those things. There are a few things on the list that I won't eat hot. Carrots, I don't want cooked. Milk, I don't want hot. Tuna fish, I don't want hot.
Well, but you know, cereal does not just mean that you pour milk over it.
Right.
Okay.
Cereals, the cereals include a variety of plants.
Yeah. And grains. I mean, high fructose corn syrup.
If you're gonna get technical about it, popcorn is a kind of cereal.
Yeah, exactly.
On account of it comes from a cereal.
Is it on your number five, Rodrigo?
It is not. But I thought about it.
I had a friend growing up that's what he would do. His mom would make the popcorn at night, and we'd eat it while we were watching the HBO.
Yeah.
And then he'd leave a bowl of it sitting out all night, and I was like, "What are you doing that for?" And the next morning, he'd pour a little sugar on it, pour some milk on it, and eat it for his breakfast.
Yeah. If it's just unsalted popcorn, which I like just fine. I wouldn't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
If you're getting the popcorn covered in fake butter. and salt,
movie
that sounds
popcorn.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Well, with that 10W30 all over it.
My number five is Trix cereal. There's something about keeping the cereal away from that rabbit, because Trix are for kids. Mm-hmm. That just makes for morning breakfast time so much fun. Where you're trying to eat it quickly before the rabbit sneaks up behind you and steals it from you.
Always after me, lucky rabbit.
And the best part about Trix is, you know, if you eat a big bowl of it, the next day you're in for a magical treat.
Yep.
Why is it always about excretion with you?
Because I guess maybe I had stopped eating Trix at the time or hadn't paid attention to it. But man, if you have a young one, if you have a child,
oh my God,
and they're eating anything that has a dyed cereal in it, like Trix.
Well, yeah, and especially those cereals which are like 90% dye.
Yes. Right. The first time a neon green pellet finds its way into the diaper, you will freak the heck out.
What did he eat?
We freaked out the first time that happened to Mason, and we were like, oh my God, what does this mean? What does this mean? And, you know, child being a nurse, you would think that she would know, but we finally had to look it up online, and all these other parents were like, don't worry, did the kitty eat Fruity Pebbles or Trix or Lucky Charms? And we're like, whew. But Trix, it's the magical cereal that keeps on giving.
Now, are they still orbs, or did they make them fruit
shaped? No, they're still round balls of stuff.
Because Trix, something.
Yeah. No, Trix are vaguely fruit shaped.
Yeah,
no.
They changed them.
Maybe they changed them, but when I was a kid, they used to be round
puff balls. Yeah, they used to be perfectly orbital, and then they changed them a few years ago. And the rabbit got a bowl of the new Trix, and then
he got
a bowl of the old Trix, and then they created new Trix just to spite the little leaping bastard.
I see.
So I feel bad for him.
I don't.
But what are you going to do?
That's my number five, Trix. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number five?
My number five is, could be any one of these, but it's specifically a combination called the Monster Mash.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Any of the combination?
No.
It has to be a combination of them?
Yes. Okay. It has to be Count Chocula, Boo Berry, and Frankenberry.
But the hard part is you can't get Boo Berry. Boo Berry is like seasonal.
They're all seasonal.
No.
Count Chocula you can find most places, but Frankenberry and Boo Berry are
Frankenberry
a lot
and Count Chocula
find.
Used to always be there, but Boo Berry used to be just seasonal only. And I think, what is it, the
Yummy
werewolf
Mummy
one?
Fruit Brute.
Fruit Brute.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Don't eat that.
Fruit Brute is better than Yummy Mummy.
Yeah.
But they're both gross.
Yeah.
So what do you do with this monster mash?
I take it all and I pour it all into a bowl. I pour all three into a bowl. Then I scoop out a bunch of like the actual cereal.
Yeah.
So that it's, you know, an even mix of marshmallows and cereal. And then I eat that. And if you want to talk about something that's going to be about, you know, 75% dye.
Yeah.
That's about it. You know, if you compare something like all those monster cereals to, for example, Lucky Charms, at least the cereal part has a little bit of flavor and color to it. Whereas like Lucky Charms is just like, what do we do with all this leftover grain?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Throw some marshmallows into it and we'll call it a cereal.
Yep.
When they're done making the boxes, they put the cardboard into the Lucky Charm pieces.
Yep.
Then they fill it with mushrooms.
My number five is a combination of all the monster cereals.
Excellent.
Except for Fruit Brute, which is disgusting.
Matthew, what is your number five?
See, now my number five, this is a problematic one for me because I've never been a breakfast person. And usually when I eat breakfast, it's, you know, regular food. It's like leftover pizza or something. When I was young, I lived with my grandparents, and my grandparents believed that you should wear everything to death and that you should never spend money on things that you don't need. So we never had fruity cereals. For a long time, breakfast cereal for me was rice with sugar and cinnamon. But I had to stop that because my Japanese girlfriend in college told me it was an abomination that I would be destroyed.
Said you were an abomination and you will be destroyed.
No,
that's what I'm pretty sure she said you were an abomination.
I think
she said
think
that sugaring rice
translation there.
Yeah.
Was an abomination. Mm. It is terrible. But when we started getting cereals, and this would have been in the early 80s, we didn't get fun cereals. We got the bags of cereals, and the only one that wasn't generic IGA brand that came in a cardboard box, I actually loved. Up to a point. And that, my friends, is my number five, grape nuts. And here's the deal with grape nuts. Never eat as many grape nuts as you think you're going to eat.
Yeah, because special magical surprise a few hours later.
Worse than that, the special magical surprise that grape nuts have is the fact that they expand in milk and continue to expand in your gut. So if you fill your bowl with the grape nuts and you put in the milk, you have a full bowl of grape nuts and you put those in your stomach and those grape nuts continue to expand. And it's like Mr. Creosote from Monty Python's Meaning of Life. And you didn't even get the wafer thin mint. But if you have them in moderation, you know, you have a bowl, you fill it a quarter of the way full, you just touch up the milk, they swell up like little viruses. And that's what they look like, little viruses. Mm. And then you can eat them.
That's
they have kind
them.
Of a,
mm.
yeah. I have never in my life put sugar on cereals. It is not something that I do. It's not something that we did growing up. But grape nuts without sugar have a nice sweetness to them. The reason they're called grape nuts is the lunatic that invented them believed that somehow they magically created grape sugars because whatever process they made them with made them taste like grapes to him. That man, Mr. Kellogg, was a... I'm gonna say this nicely. He was an eccentric feller, but grape nuts in moderation, in the right size portion, can actually be a really good breakfast. It's one of my favorites from my childhood. Because the other option I had was flakes of corn.
There's nothing wrong with flakes of corn.
No, they weren't even cornflakes. They were flakes of corn.
Yeah, that's what I said. There's nothing
flakes
wrong with
corn.
Flakes of corn.
Flakes of corn, or you could also have O's of oats. I don't even know what those are.
I've always thought that grape nuts sounds like an insult that an 80s bully would use on your movie's protagonist. Nice going, hey, grape nuts.
Hey, grape nuts, you'll never win the county karate tournament with your creepy old mentor.
With your boxcar.
Hey, grape nuts, where's my homework? You know, I got to have time to recopy it.
You're
if
the
I turn it in your handwriting, I'm going to get expelled. You wouldn't
as
want
long
that
as
to happen, would you?
Half a bowl.
Would you? Now, why don't you make like a lucky Tree. Rabbit and get out of here before I trick you again.
Oh, this is going to be a good one, folks.
My number four is one that I hated as a kid, but love eating now. And that is oatmeal. And the problem was, I think that the oatmeal back in the 1970s was just like
rocks.
Rocks. And
that elfin granola.
There was nothing really to put in it except for maybe some brown sugar or something. I just hated that.
Yeah, they hadn't invented cinnamon yet.
I guess not. But today I love my oatmeal with some diced up apples. Mm-hmm. Throw in some dried cranberries and some dried grapes. Mwah! Perfect oatmeal. It's a good start to your day. Warms up your tummy, and having something warm in your tummy a few hours later, something magical happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's you know, oatmeal have
and it gives you energy. It gives you energy. So oatmeal, my number four.
Oatmeal is such a mixed bag for me, though, because if it's the perfect texture and consistency, it's wonderful. And the other 99% of the time, it's either wet, slorgy mess or cement. And I cannot eat it unless it's like that right in the middle. So I usually don't even chance it.
Yeah, it's good. I like it a lot. Ugh. What do you got for number four, Rodrigo?
What do I have for number four? Number four is a classic. It's the gold, yeah. I would say, the gold standard of breakfast cereals.
Dirt? That's what the caveman used to eat. Dirt for breakfast. Yes,
it is.
That is not true.
It is.
That is not true.
Look, every time you find a caveman bones, what are they covered in? Dirt.
Yeah, I know, you're right.
Last meal.
Now that you've
breakfast.
Now that you've taken that seriously scientific approach to it, it's very difficult. Very difficult to.
I guess we're lawyered on that one, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. No, my number four is Frosted Flakes.
Oh, they're great.
Yep, and you know, growing up, my parents were always walking that fine line between trying to keep us healthy and being, you know, nice, fun parents that will buy us, you know, ridiculously colored fruity cereals and things like that.
Yeah.
Cool young parents.
Yeah. So, you know, for a long time, I was like, Trix or Lucky Captain Berries or whatever. But, you know, after a while, and really for a long time, I kind of got into Frosted Flakes. And I was like, why would you want anything more? This is exactly what makes the other cereals good. Mm-hmm. That is to say, sugar.
Right.
And Frosted Flakes have a lot of sugar.
Yeah, they do.
Plus, none of that, you know, additional potentially problematic weirdness, like something being a shape I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I expect a flake to have a regular...
Irregular shape,
exactly. Irregular Who knows shape. Exactly mm-hmm. what a flake is supposed to look like, right. But a
white crusty, you know, scab. It when you see it.
That's right, exactly. But a, yes, like pornography, I know a flake when I see it.
Exactly.
yeah, no, totally. Frosted Flakes are, in fact, great.
Did you get sucked into the whole Tony the Tiger craze?
Not really.
Did you prefer the box with Tony the Tiger, or did you like it like in the 90s when they had like Junior Tiger or whatever his name was?
Oh, I remember that. I think the thing is, like, a lot of that stuff I missed because I didn't get into the United States until like the early 90s.
Yeah.
So
I think it was maybe the late 80s or early 90s, something like that.
Tony Jr. was his name.
Yeah.
So I don't really recall that, but that might have been that period of time when I wasn't eating Frosted Flakes and I was trying to get, I don't know, Oops. Can you believe there's actually a cereal called Oops, all berries?
what did you put on your Frosted Flakes besides milk?
Just milk.
Really?
I mean, in general,
Frosted Flakes are sweet as hell.
Yeah. In general, my parents were always like, why don't you chop a banana and put it into it? And I'm like, well, I can't see any food where that wouldn't be a reasonable thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if I was having a burger and somebody was like, why don't you just put some chopped banana on the side? I'd be like, yeah, awesome. You know, so I was like, I guess I never considered it as like part of the cereal.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, I'm never going to turn that down.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matthew, you're number four.
On a banana side note, I went to a Brazilian...
Place
of Brazilian barbecue.
And in
between, they bring around a little thing with like a grilled charred banana.
Yeah, those are
to
good.
Clear your palate. Oh my God, those were like the best. Sure,
was it a banana or a plantain?
Yeah, it's plantain.
Yeah.
It may have been plantain. It tasted like banana to me. This it is Kansas. It may have been a banana. Same.
Well, they are bananas.
Yeah.
They're like giant starchy bananas.
Yeah.
And when you cook them, that turns into sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Starchy and banana was my favorite 70s cop show.
Yeah.
My number four is similar but not identical to Rodrigo's number five. Recently, the last 3 or 4 years, I have only found any of the monster cereals around Halloween, seasonally speaking. And I've, the last 3 years, I've sent the kid out. And of course, the kid can't eat these, so it's doubly torturous to get me monster cereals because of my favorite monster cereal. The first sugary cereal I ever tasted when I went over and had a sleepover at my friend Dean's house. And I'm like, wait, people eat breakfast in the morning? Holy crap. And I had a bowl of my number four, Count Chocula. And the thing about your Chocula, unlike the grape nuts, where you're like, just put a little bit, you want to milk and then pour your chocolate into the milk so that it turns into chocolate milk. Then you eat all the chocolate and you put more chocolate in so that you get chocolatey, yeah, chocolateier milk.
So it's on the bottom of your bowl. The chocolate, right, you is want left over.
The chocolate. You want a buttload of milk. That with the metric actually is an ass load. Sorry, adult tag. You can bleep that out if you need to. But in any case, you want a buttload of milk so that you can put the chocolate into it and you get chocolateier and chocolateier milk. And eventually your you know, entire endocrine system just says, I quit. But when you have the Count Chocula and you have the other monster cereals, you have to pace yourself. Because if you eat all the Count Chocula, then you're stuck with just Boo Berry. And his complaint about fruit being terrible, I had that same problem with just Boo Berry. So I got to, you know, kind of rotate
that
in. Yeah. You rotate in your Chocula and then you do some Frankenberry and then you can do some Frankenberry and Boo Berry, the double berry, the berry, if you will, which I believe is a disease. But my number four, Count Chocula, one of the perfect sugary cereals. And I don't eat many sugary cereals, as we'll see in a few turns, but that's probably the best for me as far as the chocolatey sugariness goes.
Cool. My number three is Honeycombs. It's a cereal that I would eat as a kid, and it was good for two things.
Mm-hmm. What's
the
that?
First is that it would tear the crap out of the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
And then you would be like, oh, I'm never eating this stuff again. And then 6 weeks later, your mom's like, are you going to ever eat these honeycombs? I'm like, yes, let's have some honeycombs. Yum. Oh, they tore the crap out of my mouth again. I will never.
Got me like again, honeycomb.
It'd take me a year to get through honeycombs.
And but, 44 years later, Steven still doesn't learn lessons in the long term.
But on the plus side, they make your farts, yeah, smell like rainbows.
That has to be the worst slogan I've ever heard. I'm glad that eventually they changed it to the actually not much better. The taste is in the shape. But
and they had the Tony the Tiger guy, Thurl Ravenscroft, actually. They make your farts taste like rainbows.
Make your farts taste like rainbows. My God, that's awful. That's horrible.
You're right. That's gross.
That's where the grossness comes
make
in.
Make your farts,
Steven,
smell like rainbows.
Right.
Well, at least we know where the line is.
Yes, exactly. Come on now. And everyone's sitting at home going, no, they don't. I would argue that you're not eating enough honeycombs.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. That's because for Steven, he got them intravenously on account of them slashing up his mouth and getting into his bloodstream.
Chop them up into little tiny little bits.
That's right.
Yeah, honeycomb's my number three. What do you have for number three, Rodrigo?
What is my number three is my colorful cereal of choice.
Okay.
And that's Fruit Loops. And mainly it's my cereal of choice because it tends to be a little bit drier and a little bit tighter than a lot of other cereals.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can actually eat it as a snack,
yes,
without any milk.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can actually just reach into a bag of Fruit Loops and eat that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, Frosted Flakes are, like, sticky.
Well, our Fruit Loops get sticky, too.
They do, yeah, but just not as much. Trust me, I've had a lot of R&D on this.
All right.
Yeah. They don't have that Cheeto stickiness.
Yeah. They're reasonable. And it depends. You have to get the straight-up Fruit Loops.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you get any, like, flavored Blasteroid
loops of fruit.
What about the weird ones now where it's like multicolored?
Yeah, loops? I don't know about that. My guess is that they like
lime and cherry and what was the other one?
I think
orange.
I think it's all sugar.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any Fruit Loop actually had any flavor.
There was cherry, lime, lemon, and purple.
Yeah. Grape. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think, you know, I'm frequently surprised when, say, I get like a bag of gummies and something or something, and I eat like a green one, and then I eat like a red one, and they actually taste different.
Yeah.
I don't actually ever expect
Fruit Loops to taste different.
Yeah, anything to taste different. I just assume they're different colors, and they just tell you they're different flavors. Yeah, yeah. And I think part of that expectation comes from Fruit Loops, because they don't. They don't actually taste different.
Matthew, sugary mess. Number three, please.
One of the generic cereals that my grandmother would buy that I would actually eat when we didn't have the box of the grape nuts was a hearty box of Raisin Bran, which, by the way, cannot be copyrighted, so anybody can have Raisin Bran. It's bran, it's raisins. But when I was in college, I discovered a wondrous thing, a beautiful thing, a thing which almost made me go to the store and buy milk once or twice a year. And that thing was called Raisin Bran Crunch. So you got your raisins, you got your little bran flakes, and little crunchy bits of that are like, I don't know what they
sugar,
are. They're like
raw sugar.
Sugar and nuts and clustery things. And they're good. And they taste good. They're not overly sweet. They have kind of a crunchy texture to them that's kind of wonderful. And it doesn't necessarily have that terrible effect on your stomach. Raisin Bran can have that same effect that you get from grape nuts, where you feel, oh, I'm full. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I'm really full because they've now expanded in my stomach. And, you know, I don't know if you've met me, but occasionally I have a rather large stomach. But when you have the Raisin Bran Crunch, you get the nice texture, you get a crunch, you get the kind of back and forth between the raisin and the crunchy bits, and then that nice base of the bran itself. It's nice. It's like Raisin Bran with an extra twist. And I kind of like that. It reminds me of growing up, except, you know, I don't have three women yelling at me all the time. Wait. Okay. It's like growing up. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Excellent. Number two for me, you know, I think beyond the honeycombs and the tricks, there's not a lot of stuff that's like super sugar saturated. Mm-hmm. Rice Krispies, I think has a lot of sugar in it. I think all cereals, processed sugars have a lot of sugar added into it, but it's not like super, super sweet.
Yeah. Type Rice Krispies actually doesn't have a lot of added sugar.
They're pretty plain. And I like that. I'm okay with that. And I really like it when I can cut up, you know, like a banana or sometimes a peach. You could get a nice ripe peach. You can cut it up and throw it in there too. And then you pour your almond milk on top of that. And it's good. I like it. And it talks to you.
Yeah.
Kill your friends.
Yep.
You know, that kind of stuff. Burn the house. Drive off the cliff with your family inside.
They're coming for you, Steven.
Yes. Those kinds of things that the Rice Krispies.
Talking about you behind your back.
Snap, crackle, and what is the other one? Quispy?
Thud.
What was
Snap, crackle, and thud.
Ringo.
Yes. There's something about Rice Krispies because not only do they talk to you, but they clump, right? So you get it in there. Once they get a little wet on them, anything, I mean, just breathe on them heavy, and the water vapors from your mouth will cause them to clump together. And you get a big old, you go in for just you think is going to be a small scoop of Rice Krispie, and you come out with like half the bowl all attached. Pounds. And I like Rice Krispies. I think they're good. I think the cereal that I eat the most right now, though, is oatmeal, but I still like a good Rice Krispie.
I think right, the real genius.
The generic Rice Krispie, even, not the Kellogg's.
No. Yeah. The real genius of Kellogg's Rice Krispies was positioning themselves as that thing that you bake with marshmallows.
Yes.
That was really the genius of it. You can tell that the execs were like, this super plain rice cereal isn't selling very well, and those weird elves we made up for it aren't really helping. What do
Snap,
we do
crackle,
with it?
And Clarence.
Yeah. It's like, well, let's tell people that they can make this candy with it.
Yeah. And people go crazy. I bet there are more people that buy the Rice Krispies for the Rice Krispie treats.
Sure.
Well, now they do Kellogg's for actual cereal.
Kellogg's now just straight up sells those Rice Krispies treat bars.
Yeah.
When they had chocolate Rice Krispies back in the 80s and 90s, and they still do. I never see them because the cereal aisle is just like an endless hell of mirrors for me. But when they have the chocolate, oh, those were so good, especially if you make them into the bars and you have chocolate Rice Krispie bars.
Yeah, get the chocolate Rice Krispie bars. You know, you make them with the marshmallow. But then you get them and they have those little tiny marshmallows embedded in them.
Ooh.
It's weird looking.
It's marshmallow on marshmallow.
Yes, it's really weird.
That's not kosher.
So that's my number two, Rice Krispies. Rodrigo, I think you have a number two. Yes. I hope you do, since this is a top five list.
Yes. I have a number two.
Number two.
Choice. My number two is one that I've actually started eating more of recently. I don't know. Sometime during the 90s, my parents discovered mini wheats. And every once in a while, when I'd go down and try to get some cereal for breakfast, I was like, all right, cereal, and open the cupboard. And there would be no Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
There would be no Fruit Loops. It would just be mini wheats.
Yeah.
I was like, you're trying to trick me. But
these are clearly steel wool.
Yeah, but I'd eat them anyway on account of basically if you put anything in front of me, I'll eat it.
Yeah. Now, did you get the frosted mini wheats or just mini wheats?
Yeah, we got the frosted ones. I think at least once we got those that where it's like you have to do it yourself, it's just like a brick.
No, that's the before the mini wheats came along. Yeah. That's what it was. A big old chunk brick sized.
It's like a
wheat.
Brick and you shred it.
Shredded wheat.
And then you put the carcass of your kill in the milk. And
it's
then that's
the
how
nastiest,
you eat it.
It's the nastiest thing on the planet.
But
you tear it to shreds.
It has some time has passed. And now when I eat mini wheats, I'm like, oh, well, actually, this is a reasonable cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has a little bit of, like, the frosted mini wheats
right.
have a little bit of sugar on them. They have kind of like a weird crunchy consistency, mm-hmm. and they're kind of difficult to eat, which I actually appreciate in certain foods.
They're kind of like honeycombs where they'll tear up the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. I mean, you want your cereal to fight you back, back a little bit. So, like, recently, I've just kind of gotten back into mini wheats, which I didn't expect.
Cool. Matthew, your number two.
My number two is clearly, and I have to make this clear up front, past tense. This was one of my favorite cereals. And this, again, happened after I left home and went to college. One of the things that I found in college, and I don't know if you guys have been there, I know Stephen has because, you know, we went to the same college. And now that I mention it, Rodrigo talks about college all the time. So, yeah, I know you guys have been there. When I was in college, I would go and buy my own stuff. And much like Rodrigo's Fruit Loops, there was a cereal that I would buy because you could eat it. You just take it and scoop it up in your hand and you eat it. Mm-hmm. And then when you had milk, you could pour milk on it. And it was interesting because it wasn't a loop like your Cheerios or your Fruit Loops. It was a weird kind of three-dimensional zero, as though someone had 3D printed one of the zeros off of a linebacker's shirt in college football.
I know what you're talking about.
The Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Cracklin' Oat Bran. I remember that.
Wow. And they're brown sugary flavored, and they have kind of a nutmeg and a cinnamon, and they were great. And I would take them, and I would just eat them and eat them and eat them. And they weren't super spendy, but this is interesting because I went looking for this when I did the thing. I stopped liking them sometime in my sophomore year of college. And I stopped eating them in the 90s. And I went back and I checked this out. Apparently, Cracklin' Oat Bran, when it was introduced, was 92% saturated fat and coconut oil.
Yep.
And apparently, they were pressured to change the formula because they were saying this is essentially, hey, here's a healthy cereal, 92% saturated fat. And when they took out the saturated fat, it's not as good.
No.
It doesn't have that same wonderful flavor that I remember.
Right, right.
But you can go out and there are sites on the internet that are like, here's how you make it and have it taste like it used to taste.
Use coconut oil.
So I'm going to check
lard,
this out. Yeah.
Six sticks of butter. A sprinkling of oat germ or of wheat germ, and then form it into little O's.
They're relatively healthy, especially now. I mean,
relatively healthy. Okay.
Well, they are healthier than some of the options. I mean, like, you know, we're talking about the sugar frosted sugar bombs.
Mm-hmm.
They have your bran and your oats and your fiber and all like that. Whole grain oats, man. Whole grain oats got to be healthy, even though the next four things are oils and sugars and more oils and more sugars.
I think
and corn syrup.
If you look on most cereals, though, one of the second ingredients is sugar or high fructose corn syrup in that. So, unfortunately, if you're going to eat cereals, except for maybe oatmeal, You can't get away from that.
Don't eat oatmeal. Oatmeal is the devil.
Oatmeal
but
awesome.
When it was good, it was great. And even now, I think I had some, well, I had a child. So sometime in the last decade, I had Cracklin' Oat brand. It was okay. But I always have that little thing in the back of my head where it will never be as good as the oat brand I had in college. But the Cracklin' Oat brand, my number two, as it was in the 1990s.
I find that with most cereals is that they do not taste as good. I find that with most foods today. And maybe it's something that happens as you get older with your taste buds and everything change. But I find foods today do not taste as good as it did when I was a kid. Like original 1975 through 82 Pizza Hut pizza was really, really good.
Well,
today, and there's not so good.
Things have changed, though, too. I had a fruit pie the other day. And I remember when fruit pie seemed to have some actual fruit in it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like Andy Rooney here, but I had this and it's like clay full of sugar jellies. Yeah. And I'm just like, this is not good. I do not like this at all. But of course, the child is like, oh, it's awesome. And I like it. And it's good.
Oh, yeah. The fruit pies used to be, you know, loaded with the maraschino cherries and a little smattering of the syrupy stuff.
Back when they had the peach pies in the 70s, because I first saw them in an old issue of Jetstar. Jetstar loved the peach pies in his ads. But yeah, the peach pies were excellent and had peach or
real
something
peach,
shaped
or
like a peach
if you had apple, it was real chunks of apple.
Had like real pits in it.
Yeah, real pits and everything.
And now it's just like slurp.
I broke my crown. Hey, that means I'm getting $10 from the Tooth Fairy tonight.
Yeah, that was in there too. Break a crown, get a free Jetstar keychain.
Yeah, boy.
I don't know. I think like it really depends on what you're looking at, because something like, would you say Pizza Hut or Domino's?
Yeah, Pizza Hut. Yeah, Pizza Hut.
Something like Pizza Hut. You know, Pizza Hut has, like, pizza has become, like, in the 70s and 80s, Pizza Hut was a place where you took the family to eat.
Mm-hmm. True.
Nowadays, Pizza Hut is the cheap alternative to other more expensive stuff. Yeah.
Like
right?
Wendy's.
It's what college students eat.
Or Burger King.
And that is what they aim at. Although recently, Domino's, a lot of these places have really revamped themselves and try to seem a little bit more, a little bit more flavor
just
friendly.
Just has a different taste. I mean, you can, my wife and I comment about this all the time, is like with Pizza Hut, you can really taste all the salt
and
preservatives in the food.
That's because they just buy one block of salt and they just
rub it on everything. Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, the differences in the temperature and the differences in technology of your pizza oven, and most importantly,
I think
Pizza
it's just
Hut revamped
difference.
Yeah,
I mean, they revamped their crust like several times, so you can't get the old school crust anymore.
And I think though, you know, look at cheese processing has changed since the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of the meat processing has changed since the time. So you know, it's
and
just one of those things that happens.
Generally,
Coke doesn't
healthier.
Taste the same as it did back in my day.
It's generally better food. That's the thing. I mean, the cheese is less fatty and the meat has less, you know, guys who fell in the vat.
Yeah. I think it was those extra rats that made it taste.
Yeah. The rat feces. Yeah. It's the rat feces and the bug parts.
All right.
This is a really gross episode.
I know.
Enough reminiscing about the good old days.
Let's talk about our number one episode. It can be. I really, except for the oatmeal and, you know, like an occasional breakfast burrito, that's about it for breakfast. I usually don't eat breakfast, but I got to tell you, when I eat my oatmeal in the morning and have an apple with it, man, I've got energy throughout the entire day. Mm-hmm. If I eat something else for breakfast, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, I got no energy. Oatmeal. Just eat oatmeal for breakfast. It's got all the energy you need right there in the little oats. And a little handful is all you need.
If you have trouble making it all the way to 2 p.m., I have a novel new product for you.
Yeah?
It's called lunch.
Well, I do eat lunch. I do eat lunch. But yeah, by 2 o'clock, I'm just like, no energy.
Yeah.
But then by, you know, 4 o'clock, it's powered back up again. But I'm also a firm believer in afternoon naps.
Yeah.
So how else do you think I can stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning working on some stuff? Yeah. So, all right. Number ones, our number one breakfast cereals, for me is kind of like Rodrigo's number five. And I believe Matthew's number four or something. I love Rice Chex. I love Corn Chex. Growing up as a kid, Wheat Chex were not a favorite, but they were certainly good in the original. Again, another thing that has changed, the original Chex mix that you'd make at home tastes nothing like the bag stuff today. Sure. But I could stand to the Wheat Chex every once in a while. But combine the three together. And again, pour them in a bowl, shake them up a little bit so you distribute it, pour some almond milk over the top. If you want to throw a banana in, throw a banana in, but really the rice, corn, and wheat Chex mixed together, the best breakfast cereal of them all. But I could eat any of them by themselves if I had to.
Chex, another brilliant maneuver, mm-hmm. where now basically people think of Chex as snacks,
yeah.
as opposed Chex, to yeah. breakfast cereal.
And yeah. you know, the Chex Mix formula, I believe, or the original recipe has been around since like the late 1950s 30s. Or the 60s, because my mom still has the like Betty Crocker original recipe from 1960 that's mm-hmm. like dump in a tub of butter, yep. cook, turn over, cover with more butter, cook, stir
add
in a bowl,
5 pounds
add,
of salt.
Yes, add, well, not salt, but add, you know, a bottle of Worcestershire sauce, shake, bake, done. Throw in some peanuts. You got to throw in some peanuts and some pretzels.
Sure.
Not rye crisps or whatever that stuff is.
I like the rye crisps.
You know, they actually make a whole Chex Mix that's nothing but the rye crisps.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point?
Why would you want that?
I don't like the rye. The,
those
the,
are awful.
No, I don't like those.
So you can buy them all individually if you feel that usually Chex Mix doesn't have the proper mix for you. So, like, okay. Oh. So instead, I like to go two parts rye chips, one part wheat chips, one the part weird spicy stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the local IGA actually has a kind of an alternate Chex Mix that has, and this is, you know, all generics, but it's Doritos in the Chex Mix.
Yep.
Oh, that's so good.
Isn't
Dorito Chex Mix?
Isn't Puppy Chow Chex based as well?
Yes. So like, the Puppy Chow is you basically take either the rice or the corn Chex and you mix them with powdered sugar and chocolate and you end up with the Muddy Buddies
coat them with chocolate and then, rub the whole thing in powdered sugar.
Yeah, and then, you know, just throw them up in the air and do a dance.
Yeah.
Telling you.
Ah, the Chex Mix dance, the Chex Mix dance. Everybody do the Chex Mix dance.
So rice, corn, or wheat Chex, my number one cereal. Breakfast cereal.
Put your hand in the air and your foot on the chair, and then you're doing the Chex Mix dance.
You got to do the fiddle. You got to get the fiddle going, and you got to get the twang in a little bit.
Oh!
Bow to your left and bow to your right. Stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight.
Like a football cheer?
No, it's a square dance. Getting down.
Throw in some Chex and some pretzels, too, and those crappy little things that smell like a shoe. Woo! You're doing the Chex Mix dance.
All right, Rodrigo. Time for your number one.
This is a weird episode.
Yeah.
See, it's too much breakfast cereals.
It's like Almond left. Sugar. Almond right. It's like, actually, it's pronounced Almond. my number one is a very sweet, very kind of baby type cereal, which they have
baby food.
No.
Those pureed carrots and peas are.
I like the fruit Gerbers.
Oh yeah,
because those are
those actually really good.
Yeah, those are really good. So Honey Bunches of Oats is really good and really brilliant because it's extremely sweet. It's a very sweet cereal that they could basically, you know, if you just fed that to a child, they would think it was delicious on account of the amount of sugar that it has. But it's not a fun, you know, geometrically shaped cereal like kids are used to.
Right.
So I find that Post, I believe, has really made the brilliant maneuver of marketing it to adults. So it's like a really sweet cereal that has no stigma.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a box of Honey Bunches of Oats and nobody will like look at you weird, especially you know, when you consider the amount of cereal that I buy.
Oh yeah.
I'm like going to your Walmart and finding like the biggest box because I'm not gonna be back in town for a week and a half. Not at Walmart, anyway. I'm actually in this town like 3 to 4 times a week.
Every other day.
Yep. So Honey Bunches of Oats, it is cornflakes, oats, nuts, and you can get it with almonds. You can get it with dried strawberries. Mm-hmm. They actually have, or dried peaches. So again, if you think to yourself, man, this sure doesn't, like, I would like another weird capsule of sugar in this, you can get it with the dried fruit as well. But I find that just the regular one is pretty good.
Cool. Nice. All right, Matthew, your number one.
My number one is a very recent cereal experience for me. Generally, I avoid the cereal aisle because there's not really anything that I want down there. Whatever the family gets is fine, unless it's right around, you know, Halloween and I want my monster cereals. But Widget and I were in the store the other week, and our local Kroger affiliate has the little card thing, and something is like, oh, look, this is on sale if you have your card. And I found this thing is $5.99 a box with card $2.99. And I'm like, ooh. And of course, I look at this box. It's a gold logo embossed box. Now, I read comics in the 90s, and I know that gold logos are worth like 10 times more.
Yeah.
So I bought four boxes of this cereal.
So you ended up paying more to get four boxes.
No, because I had four boxes of cereal.
I'm saving all this money by buying four boxes.
I saved $15, but one box cost you dollars, just... Mr. Smarty Man.
It was great, too, because when he opened it, he found that it was a gatefold box that explained what had been happening with the cereal exactly. up to that point.
And it turns out that there was a card in there that explained the backstory of Cable. Now, here's the thing. It's my number one, Steven, so you have to presume I like it. And when I tell you the name of the cereal... When I tell you the name of the cereal, you will understand why I like this cereal.
Okay.
Drum roll, please. Okay. The name of this cereal, Kellogg's Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory Chocolate Almond Limited Edition Cereal.
Oh, they saw you coming a mile away.
They did. I mean, this is just like, hey, Matthew,
how are we
going
to get Matthew to buy $20 worth of cereal? Put a gold label on it, call it limited edition, and say it's got chunky chocolate in it.
Chocolate.
Sold.
Now, this is the thing. You know how I said I don't necessarily like a sweet, sweet, sweet cereal? This has non-sweet flakes. It has little bits of almond. It's got some, I'll say there's some sweetness to the flake. And then it's got little bits. They look like little ingots, little bars of chocolate.
I'm betting they took, you know, all the chunky bars from when we were a kid. They just dumped all of those into the box, and that's what Matthew is referring to these little chunks.
Maybe when they make like Hershey's chocolate pips, sometimes they come out like too small or damaged, too chunky.
Do you know the chunky bar? Do you remember the chunky bar?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Chunky bars are
chunky
good.
Bar was like a Hershey's bar broken up into like six equal pieces and then stacked on top of one another as a solid piece of chocolate.
It was probably about
3 inches by 3 inches by 3 inches.
Yep. Square, but it's like a half inch thick, and it has raisins and nuts and things in it. It's really good.
I mean, as a kid, I remember eating like solid chocolate stuff. Yeah. I think in Mexico, they're a lot less shy about that. Or like, they're not like really tied to that bar format. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, the bar format is good, but here's like a block of chocolate. And then you're like sitting there like scraping it with your teeth.
I may or may not have done that as a young child. Yeah.
It wasn't like called chunky chocolate. It's like, in Spanish speaking markets, it was actually called gordita. And then Taco Bell came in and fired them. But the thing about it, now here's the thing. I haven't told you the best part about this. You know how I said that there's the flakes, the corn flakes?
Yeah.
There are also chocolate-infused corn flakes that are like the old chocolate corn flakes that they don't make anymore.
Man, is your pancreas like ready to just jump out of your body and go, out?
It's really not that sweet. That's the thing about it. I mean, it's definitely not a breakfast-type cereal. I usually eat it in the evening. It makes a great dessert when you forgot to get dessert.
Yeah, sure.
What's
the name
really
of this thing
good.
Again?
The name, drumroll please. Kellogg's Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory Chocolatey Almond Limited Edition Cereal.
Wow.
Is that a superhero on the front? What's the animal?
There's no animal. It's actually a black
there's
box.
Not enough, there's not factory. Enough room. There's not enough room on the box.
Well,
it's a
factory, so I guess it would be a rat.
It's aimed at grown-ups because you can see there's a bowl of the cereal. And if you look at the back, it's like true indulgence and sweet heritage. And the best part about it is they still try and play it off as being sort of healthy. even though it's got chocolate twice in the actual title of the cereal. It's not just chocolate. It's double chocolate, to which I think my grandmother would say, "Andiamo, fratello, non masturana tutti I funions," which means don't bogart all the funions. So it's not really germane, but yes, that is the best cereal in the world. Tortilla. If you see it, buy it. I think they've stopped making it. I think
I wonder why. Sir, we're all of our customers are winding up in the hospital under extreme sugar shock.
Nah,
honestly, they've all gone into diabetic comas. Oh well, we better make it limited edition then, so that we
push these out the door even faster.
It might have been printing costs with a title like that.
Golden
like,
Boss,
Golden,
everything
golden
wrong
state
with the 90s.
Chocolate, big chocolate, chunky chocolate, factory chocolate, raging chocolate chunk cereal
for a limited time. Yes.
You do not
all the problems of 90s comics brought into 2010.
That's great. It's great that they made us. It's great to see that cereal also went through that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The best part is if you get some of them have like the really cool lenticular cover. That's what I want in my cereal.
Which explains why nowadays when you watch a Fruit Loops commercial, Toucan Sam doesn't sit down.
What were some of the worst cereals? I hate Malto Meal.
Malto Meal? I do not like Malto
Grits,
Meal.
But that's technically a cereal. But
okay, here's the worst cereal in the world. Are you ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kix.
Ah, but I like Kix for what Kix has got. My mom likes Kix for what Kix is not.
I like Kix.
What did Mikey eat?
Come over here and
Life
show you.
Cereal.
Life. Which isn't great
either. I never had Life. I mean, really, for growing up, it was the occasional Honeycombs. The mm-hmm. Tricks, never had any of the pirate cereals.
Uh-huh. Those are good.
Never had any of the Honey Oats. We could have Cheerios. Oh, no,
what about like Honey Smacks?
I think I had
Sugar Smacks.
One or two box of the Sugar Smacks once, but those are always in the smallest boxes, and you ran out of those the fastest.
Right.
Mostly it was the Chex or the Rice Krispies, the Oats or the Honeycombs occasionally.
Peanut Butter Crunch is awful because it combines the roof of your mouth shredding capacity of your regular crunch with this weird kind of pseudo-scientific out of a test tube peanut butter flavor that doesn't taste like peanut butter or indeed like flavor.
Was not a big fan of the Frosted Flakes. They just look scary.
Fruity Pebbles are okay. Cocoa Pebbles are better.
Occasionally we'd have the Pebbles.
And Fruity Pebbles just like it really just abandons all pretense, I find. Because it is just like the thinnest flake of matter, and it's then on top of it is like sugar and dye. Yeah.
Another one that will 24 hours will give you the biggest surprise.
Yep.
Pac-Man cereal was pretty awesome when I was a kid.
I didn't even get into those weird, because they had a Donkey Kong cereal, I remember. What else was another weird one?
There was a C-3PO droid Star Wars.
Oh, I remember the droid cereal.
I never actually ate any of that, but at one point I owned a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cereal.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. Spider-Man cereal was interesting.
I mean, they're still doing that. There was an Age of Ultron cereal, and I remember looking at it, and I'm like, oh, it's got to be like Fruit Loops or like Lucky Charms with Age of Ultron pieces or like marshmallow bits. And I was looking at it as like, nope, this is Age of Ultron brand cereal.
Wow.
How about this? For this is from Purina. Mm-hmm. Grins and smiles and giggles and laughs.
Wow. I'm terrified of that. That sounds like John Wayne Gacy cereal.
Yes, definitely. Oh. I hate instant plays on websites.
Oh, that's the worst.
Shut up, you. How do you turn that off?
I never got to eat it, but I remember that there was a Cap'n Planet cereal.
Cap'n Planet?
You remember Cap'n Planet? Cap'n Planet! And then you'd have like the five kids who'd come out. It was earth, air, fire, and like, I don't know, gentle hugs.
I was just surprised because it's like, it's Captain Planet, but it's
Cap'n Planet!
But it's Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if that was a crossover.
Right. It's Cap'n Crunch became Cap'n Planet.
I remember these as well. Kellogg's OKs.
They're the OKs. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I went to a friend's house. And she was going through her grandparents' old pictures, and there was a picture of them, like, right after, like, they had just, they'd gotten married, like, a week before. They were sitting around eating breakfast, and they had a box of Kellogg's Pep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what an amazing cereal that must have been. I bet you that was just dry corn.
Quisp 80% and Quake.
Amphetamines. Pep.
Quisp and Quake was actually two different cereals, or was it the same cereal? Just two
Quisp
and
boxes. Quake were different cereals. They combined. Quisp was an alien.
Yes.
And Quake was a superhero. And they used to have these commercials that would pit them against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could decide. And I think Quisp lasted longer because Quisp was not as querable as Quake.
Here's one that has a beaver as its mascot. Anybody want to guess the name of this Kellogg's brand cereal?
No.
Woody-O's?
Crunchy Logs.
Nice.
I was going to vote that damn cereal.
Crunchy Logs. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Logs.
Time for you to head over to the Major Spoilers Podcast posting page. You can find a link to it in these very show notes if you're on your mobile device. We want to know what your top five favorite breakfast cereals were. We expect it to be filled up with all sorts of descriptions and why you liked them and why they're ranked the way they are. And if they gave you special surprises a few hours after ingesting them. I'm interested in reading it.
I know we know you are.
Well, everybody loves a list, and that's why people are going to check it out. We'll see you next time.
If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas for future shows, or would like to sponsor a show, send an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Visit Major Spoilers at majorspoilers.com and be sure to check out the Major Spoilers forum. You can also follow Major Spoilers on Twitter at twitter.com/majorspoilers.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.